So we're happy to be here once again. Let's get ready to enter to the teaching of the word. I'm going to invite you to open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 8 and join me by standing this morning. Matthew chapter 8. And I'd like to speak on the theme this morning, a needed encounter. A needed encounter. Matthew chapter 8, verses 1-4. If you are visiting us here today and you're not familiar with our Sunday event activities, after our service today, we have a break time. You'll go into our fellowship hall if you wish, and there's food there. And then about 12:45, we also have an adult English Sunday school class, and we have Sunday school for our children as well. I believe we have something like 8 children's churches, 8 classes for children. You can find your spot for your children, and I know that you can leave really encouraged and really blessed. As I talk to my 8-year-old at times and I hear her knowledge of scripture, I'm just so impressed with how well our teachers teach our children. And I just want to encourage you, don't keep your children home from children's church. I promise you that they will learn the word of God. Amen. Matthew chapter 8, verses 1-4. Today we're going to speak on the theme, a needed encounter. A needed encounter. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them." Father, we thank you for your word, for it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It leads us in all seasons of our lives. And you have brought us here today because you know, Lord, what you want to speak into our hearts. I am encouraged with the teaching of your word today, Lord. It encourages me. And I pray, Father, that it would also encourage your people, Lord. Father, I pray, Lord God, that you would place an anointing upon me to bring forth your word with clarity, O Lord. So, Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have to be able to share your word today. And we ask this blessing upon your people in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. A needed encounter. Each and every one of us at times in our lives, especially if we've had have been a Christian for some time, we've come to know what an awesome thing it is when you are in the presence of God and you feel the Lord just ministering to you and you feel him touching you and uplifting you, encouraging you. Many have had experiences where they experience healing. We've all experienced restoration and forgiveness, and that is a wonderful thing that as we pray and seek the Lord, we find ourselves in these wonderful encounters, spiritual encounters with God, and we're encouraged by them all the time, and we thank God for them. And those encounters all began with one particular encounter when we gave our heart to Christ, when we found ourselves in a place of need. And in our place of need, Jesus met us there. He touched our lives and changed us forever. How many say amen? Because when you have had a real encounter with Jesus, he will change your life forever. And the change in your life will be so evident that the community will know it, that your family will know it, that your co-workers will know it, your children will know it, your spouses will know it, your parents will say things like, "Who is this guy? He's not my son. Who is this girl? She is not my daughter." Because when you have had a true encounter with Jesus, he changes your life completely. And so many of us have had needed encounters in our lives when we have been lost and broken and sick, and we have been in places dark, and we have known that we have needed something, and Jesus came and he rescued us. We were once lost, but he found us. We were once blind, but now we see. And that is because we had a wonderful encounter with Jesus. That's why we know this joy we have The world did not give it to us, and the world cannot take it away. It is something that only happens when we have found ourselves in the presence of Christ. So there's a man in the Bible that we read about. He was a man with leprosy, a leper. He was a man that he was sick with leprosy. Leprosy was a sickness that would attach itself to the body and eat away at the skin of the body, the ears, and eventually get to the point where it would kill the individual. Leprosy is very, very popular in the Bible. It is spoken to, depending of your version, but over 40 times in the scripture, there is leprosy talked about in the Bible. So it's interesting to see that the Holy Spirit has intentionally brought a view to it, attention to this sickness, leprosy. Why? Because leprosy is a counterpart to spiritual sickness. It's a physical counterpart to spiritual sickness. It is a sickness that there was no natural cure for in the times of the scriptures. There was no natural cure for. You needed something supernatural in your life to cure you, to heal you from leprosy. In fact, when you were delivered from leprosy, it wasn't known as healing, but it was known as cleansing, because you had now been cleansed from leprosy. And there was a spiritual connection there, because only the priest could really indicate that you have been cleansed. And the Holy Spirit inspires leprosy in the scriptures because it reminds us of our condition, our spiritual condition before our encounter with Jesus, that we have had sin eating away at us. And if it's not cared for, it will one day take our lives as well. And leprosy is interesting because in the scriptures, leprosy, someone who is sick with leprosy or leper, that person is affected in three particular ways. One, he's affected physically, where he is sick and not well. He's affected socially, where he's no longer a part of the community, no longer a part of his family, no longer a part of his upbringing. He's now isolated, marginalized, usually living among the dumps of the city where maybe he can find or she can find some food to eat. So they're marginalized. In fact, if anybody who is cleaned was to get near them, they were to yell out or sound a bell to say and say, unclean, unclean. And that person knew that they had to leave them. In fact, if you touched someone who was sick with leprosy, then you were instantly deemed unclean. And only a priest, after certain ceremonies, can deem you clean if you were not considered someone sick with leprosy. But someone who was clean could make someone else clean, but that would be done only supernaturally, like we see here in the story of Jesus. The clean was able to fix or heal or cleanse the unclean. So someone who is affected by leprosy physically, you were affected socially, and also spiritually. You had no contact with the high priest. You had no contact with the temple. It is believed that you were in that condition probably because your parents did something to offend God. Or your grandparents or your family lived in a way, and because of that, God cursed you, and now you are separated from the spiritual thing. So we see how leprosy affects us physically and socially and spiritually. Today, there are many people who are spiritually sick with leprosy, where their lives, the way they live, have affected them even physically, where they're not well. Socially, they have isolated themselves from their homes, their families, their matrimony, their children. They have isolated themselves and they have sought out things like the American dream and fame and finances and influence. And they have isolated themselves from the very things that are more urgent or important in our lives. And many of them also are spiritually affected, where they are far from God, and there is an inner need within us that says we need God. There is a shrine within us that has been prepared only for God. I love that Tauzer talks about the shrine, a place within us that has been prepared only for God. And when we have allowed the world to infiltrate who we are, and we have emptied ourselves from what God wants to do within us, that place is always void and always empty. And it draws like hunger pains for someone who says, it draws like hunger pains within themselves, saying, I need a Savior. I need a God, right? So this man, isolated, marginalized, sick, in need of a spiritual deliverer, hears about Jesus, and he hears that Jesus is in town, and he does the unthinkable. He comes among the crowd, reveals himself, and approaches himself to Jesus, and Jesus touches his body, and he is changed for life. It was a needed encounter. Perhaps there's someone here today that needs that same type of restoration. Maybe there's someone here today that says, man, I am dealing with a spiritual leprosy where I know I'm not myself physically. I know I'm struggling with certain things in my life. I know I have allowed addictions to conquer my flesh and my mind. And I know that there's things that I'm dealing with in the natural that I shouldn't. I've isolated myself from everyone that loves me or the important things in my life. And I'm so far from God. I want to tell you here today that Jesus is among us, here to touch us and change our life. It is the needed encounter for each and every one of us. So today, I want to share with you three things that we can learn from this story. Three things, if you feel like God is speaking to me right now, it's an encounter that I need. The first one I want to tell you is following Jesus is not enough. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, verse 1 says, large crowds followed him. Following Jesus is not enough. In the Bible, many people followed Jesus. Large crowds, chapter 5 of Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount, many people followed him. And at the end of it all, you'll see that they slowly, slowly left him when they were challenged by the word, challenged by change. Right? In Matthew chapter 14, verse 13, it says that Jesus traveled on boats and people would follow him along the land, town by town. And there he finds himself feeding over 5,000 people with five loaves of bread and two fish. Why? Because they were interested in Jesus' miracles, in his hands, in his words, in his teaching. Large crowds followed Jesus everywhere. And they wanted to see, would he heal them? Would he touch them? What was he saying? What are these miracles about? Is this the Messiah? They knew that there was a connection to God. And there must be something about this man. And many followed him. And today I want to tell you that the church is full of people. When I say the church, I talk about the church of Jesus Christ. It's full of people who are just following Jesus. They just come to church because they know that there's something about church. There is a spiritual connection in church. It is my culture to go to church. It is my routine to go to church. We follow Jesus because we know that we should. We wear crosses on our chest because we know that we should. We walk in front of a Christian temple and we give the sign of the Trinity. Why? Because we know that there is a spiritual connection there. And these are things that we should do. I don't think that we should be given a spiritual sign when we walk in front of a temple. I'm just illustrating that that's what people do in a connection to God. How many say amen? I don't want anybody to send me any emails tomorrow. I want to remind you here today that there are many people that follow Jesus from a distance. But following Jesus from a distance will not, it's not enough for the life changing experience that I talked about in the intro of the sermon. It's not enough for that life-changing experience. There are many that serve Christ from a distance. They come to church on special days. They read their Bible every so often. They download particular sermons that they like to hear, but there is no application in their life. There is no change. There is no seeking the word for what it is, a mirror that tells me exactly who I am and what needs to be changed within me. No, we go to church, and we go to Elohim Christian Church because they sing great there, and there's a nice group of people, and I hear that if you go for the first or second time, they give you lunch for free, right? So we serve Christ from a distance. From a distance. We're part of a crowd. We're part of a crowd, and we've been a part of a crowd for a long time, and we're still walking around with our leprosy. We're still walking around with our leprosy because we see it from a distance. You know why we like the crowd? Because we could hide in the crowd. In the crowd, I can cover myself, and no one can see my leprosy. No one can see my dark ways. No one can see my brokenness. No one can see my broken home. No one can see my broken children. No one can see my broken ways. No one can see my addiction. No one can see my leprosy. So I hide myself in a crowd where no one can see my dysfunction. And we walk living in leprosy because we choose the crowd. But Jesus has constantly invited people to personalize their relationship with him. He's constantly inviting people to personalize. He says, if anyone, no matter what color we are, ethnic background, social status, language we speak, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. There's a challenge there, but the offer is for anyone. To another young man that tells him, I want to be your disciple. Jesus says, well then, take your riches, give it to the poor, and come follow me. An invitation for this young man, but the challenge he would not accept. And he walks away, the Bible says, the same way that he came. Could you imagine that? And this young man, the Bible says, falls at the feet of Jesus. Falling at the feet of Jesus, falling at the feet of the omnipotent, omnipresent, transcendent, immanent, faithful, good God. Falling at the feet of Jesus, he walks away the same way because he chose the crowd. Right? But there's a constant invitation on behalf of Jesus to the fishermen. He says, I will make you a fisher of men. To the tax collector Zacchaeus, he said, today I must stay at your house. To Levi, the author of the book of Matthew, he says, come, follow me. In a time where Levi was collecting taxes behind his tax booth, Luke chapter 5, Jesus approaches him and says, come, follow me. Levi becomes a disciple of Jesus and the author of the book we read today. Jesus invites anyone in any season of their life to come and be his disciple, because only one who decides to follow Jesus intimately could have an encounter that will change their life forever. There have been many that have said, I've been in church, what's going on? It's that we've chosen the crowd and not a personal relationship with him. So today I remind you, if we want a needed encounter, the first thing we need to remember is following Jesus is not enough. The second point is establishing a personal relationship with Jesus is a must. Establishing a personal relationship with Jesus is a must. This man with leprosy, he jumped out the crowd and he approached Jesus, right? He knew other religious people would be looking at him. He knew his family would be looking. He exposed himself without saying, I am unclean. It was probably going to be an arrest and maybe even taking of his life. He broke the law. He approaches Jesus seeking mercy, seeking grace, seeking restoration. A man with leprosy, completely rejected by all, he now takes the decision to establish a personal relationship with Jesus. But there's a couple things that we need to remember if we want to establish a personal relationship with Jesus. One is, if we're going to have a personal relationship with Jesus, we're going to have to step out of the crowd. You can't do it just being a Christian, a Christian that's in a culture, just going to church. No, there's going to have to be a response to the call. There's going to have to be a response to the invitation. If anyone, there would be a response to it. And you would have to realize that you're going to have to step out of the crowd. I love Revelation chapter 3 verse 20, where the angel speaking on behalf of Jesus says this: here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. And I love that it's a yelling, a screaming, here I am! Exclamation mark, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone would allow me in, I will come in and I will meet with him. I will eat with him. We have to know that it has to be personal. We have to make the decision to accept the challenge and allow Christ to do the work in our life that he wants to do. And when he does that work, it will bring change to us. So we're going to have to remember that a personal relationship with Jesus will mean step out of the crowd. It will also mean we're going to have, if we want to have a personal relationship with Jesus, we're going to have to recognize our state. You got to have a teachable spirit. You got to recognize your state. I'm a sick man. This was shameful. He was cursed. He was outcast. You know, he had to come to Christ and say, I'm messed up. I need. I want to tell you that if you want to have a personal relationship with Jesus, you can't come with a righteous attitude. You have to come with an attitude that says, without you, I'm lost. You have to approach Jesus and say, this is who I am. Look at me. I'm a mess. Physically, I've allowed things to control my mind and my actions. I've isolated myself from all that is important, and spiritually I am lost. I am a mess. This is who I am. I love that when Jacob is confronted with the angel and the angel asks him, what is your name? He says, my name is Jacob. I am a liar. I am a deceiver. He could have said, I am the son of Abraham and Isaac. He could have said, I am the one that you spoke to some years ago. He could have said, this is who I am. But no, he said, I am a liar, a deceiver. I am Jacob. And God says, I will change your name and you will be called Israel. Transparency projected blessing for his life. And I want to remind you today that when we approach Christ, we cannot approach him in a righteous attitude. He knows who we are, and he knows that every one of us have failed and every one of us has sinned. We can't hide from him. So we approach him knowing this is our state. This is our need. Approach him transparently today and say, I am in need. I'm broken and I need healing today. I need cleansing today. I need someone to cleanse me today. I love it. I love to be able to approach Jesus in my prayer time and say, Lord, I messed up. I thought the way I shouldn't have thought. I reacted the way I shouldn't have reacted. I said what I shouldn't have said, and to know that his grace meets me in my need. I love that the Bible says in Hebrew, his grace and mercy meets us in the opportune moment. At the very need of our lives, he is there. He's only not there when we approach him in a righteous state. Because when we approach him in a righteous state, we're saying that we don't really need you. But when we approach him in a sinful state, in a brokenness, we're telling him, can you fix me? It's a needed encounter that changes our lives forever. Maybe you're lacking something in your home or in your matrimony or your children or your finances. And maybe you're having a hard time resting at night. Maybe there's something that God is speaking into your life this morning, a sense of emptiness within you, a sense of lack of eternal security. You know that if Christ were to call you today, you don't know where you would spend the future. A need of forgiveness. Approach him in your broken state and have an encounter that will touch your life forever. See, an encounter with Jesus will touch our lives forever. So remember, following Jesus is not enough. And if we want true healing, then we're going to have to personalize our relationship with Jesus. Personalize our relationship with Jesus. Perhaps there's someone here today that feels like this man with leprosy. Can Jesus really heal me? I've been hearing about church and religion and Jesus for a long time. Can he really do it? Look at my need. I'm pretty low right now. Leprosy has eaten away at a lot in my life. And can he really, really do it? Can I really get out of this hole? Can I really be rescued? Can he really, really do it? I love that Jesus reached out to this man and said, I am willing, be clean. Our third point is, if you really want healing, recognize who Jesus is. recognize who Jesus is. This man moved towards Jesus, and the Bible says in Mark chapter 1, verse 41, which is the same story here but told by the author Mark, it says Jesus was moved with compassion. You see, Jesus loves us so much that he moves towards us with compassion. He draws us closer to him because of his compassion for us. He does not love sin, but he is crazy in love with the sinner. And he loves each and every one of us. And the Bible teaches us that he will leave 99 to go find that one lost sheep. No matter what we have done, no matter where we are in our life, I want to tell you that Jesus is compassionate towards you. You are the passion of God. The psalmist said this in Psalm 86:15, but you, O Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Psalm 86:15, I want to tell you today that Jesus, he's compassionate about you. He has compassion for you and passionate about you. I want to tell you that Jesus, no matter where you are in your life right now, no matter how low or how high, I want to tell you that he draws you towards him. He's positioned himself in a place where you can see him. He walked through that valley, through that street, so that the leopard man can see Jesus. And he's positioned himself in a place so that you can see him. And I want to tell you that yes, Jesus is all powerful, and he is a powerful God, and he's powerful enough for your circumstance. There's no healing that he can't heal. There's no soul in which he cannot put peace in. There's no joy that he cannot give. Whether you're battling addictions, strongholds, where you're battling loss and isolation, whether you're battling a spiritual battle within your life, I want to tell you that he is omnipotent, omnipresent. He is omniscient. There is nothing impossible for him. He's compassionate, and he's also powerful. And what I love about this story is that it says that he is willing. I love that the verse said, the man tells him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched him and said, I am willing, be clean. Now, there's something about this word here, willing, that I want to bring attention to this morning. The man wasn't saying, Jesus, if you're in a good mood, you can heal me. He wasn't saying that. He wasn't saying, Jesus, if you feel like it. He was saying, if it is in your will, you can heal me. Because God is always subject to his will. He'll never step out of his will. He's subject to his will. So this man was saying, if it is in your will, you can heal me. And Jesus says, I am willing. It's in my will. I want to tell you here today that God's will is for you to experience an encounter with him that will change your life. It is the will of God. And whatever is the will of God, if we align ourselves with it, then that means it becomes ours. It becomes our will. We'll be able to obtain it. It's God's will. If we align ourselves with God's will, it becomes our will. And now we could have it. We could enjoy it. And Jesus looked at this man and said, I am willing. If there's someone here today who says, that's me, I need this. Where God tells you this morning, he is willing to heal you, to restore you. He is willing to make you whole again, not just you, all aspects of your life, physical, social, spiritual. He is willing to heal and cleanse and restore because that is his will for your life. Our job is to receive his will, to submit to his will, to embrace his will. And that is our job as believers, to embrace it. So many of us have rejected the will of God in our lives, and that's why we find ourselves lost in sin, lost in shame, lost in our own ways. Why? Because we have rejected God's will for us. But he says, if you want to, I am willing. So today, as I conclude our thought for this morning, I want to remind you here today, maybe some of us are struggling in our lives, and we are in need of an encounter with Jesus that will change our lives forever. I want to tell you that today is the day of salvation. I want to tell you that today is the day of healing. And for the church, for those who are Christian, it doesn't mean that we have not been saved. It means that we have chosen our own ways even after we have accepted Christ as our personal Savior. And we know that we have made decisions that have been outside of the will of God and has caused isolation and has caused brokenness and have caused spiritual need within our lives. But today, I want to remind you that our encounter with Jesus can be fresh every single day. So today, as we bring closure to our teaching tonight, maybe there's someone here today who says, "That's me. I'm like the man with leprosy. I'm struggling with things in my body that control my mind, addictions, hardships, sickness. And I know that this is there because I have allowed it in my life. And I need a touch from God that will change my life with forever." I want to tell you that Jesus is compassionate. He's powerful, and it's in his will for you. Maybe you have dealt with isolation in your life, and you feel like I'm far away from everybody and everything, and I know that I need community, and I know that I need to find myself among God's people and among healthy people, and I've isolated myself even from family and church, and God is speaking to me today. I want to tell you that Jesus is compassionate. He's powerful, and I want to tell you that he's willing. Maybe your need is a spiritual need in your life where you're saying, "My sickness has drawn me away from God." Well, there's grace for the opportune moment this morning. He draws you close to him, and he is compassionate for you. He has compassion for you. I want to tell you that he's powerful enough for you. He's the only one that can cleanse you. He's the only one that can save you. And not only that, I want to tell you that it's in his will to restore you. If you're here today and the Lord is speaking to you, after I say this prayer, we're going to do an altar call. If you feel led from the Lord to come forward for prayer, we want to pray with you this morning. I invite you to stand. Father God, we thank you for your word, for it leads us and guides us and encourages us to draw closer to you. Father, we're reminded of the needed encounter, the powerful touch. Some of us here today, Lord, you are ministering to us. How awesome it is to be reminded that you, Lord, have compassion for us. Powerful enough to meet us at our need and bring change to our lives, and willing to do it for us. Father, as we gather this morning, because you are sovereign and omniscient, knowing all things, you knew, Lord, that someone here today, someone listening from home, would need to hear this word. Father, I pray that their encounter would change their lives forever. Their encounter today would change their lives forever. It's awesome to know that you have positioned them in a place to hear from you because you love them. So, Father, I ask today that you would open our hearts to receive what you have for us, that we could apply it to our lives, and that our Sunday would change our Monday. We thank you for your word, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you are here today and you would like prayer as we sing this next song, the altar is open. We invite you to come forward and we'll pray with you.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.